vegetarian. I mean, you're vegetarian.
Just gonna slightly drop that.
I am a vegetarian. Yes, I am. I'm not vegan, though. No. That would have been in the first episode if I were vegan.
Veganism is very popular here, though.
It is. It's interesting.
Yeah. You say that with
a little bit of disdain. Not disdain. I just find it surprising because Iceland is so meat heavy.
It is meat heavy, but the need for people to eat vegan and for health reasons and for environmental reasons. I mean, I feel like you can't be a modern society and not run up against some of the reasons why people should really be eating less meat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not just for health reasons, but also for animal welfare and just ecology in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Totally.
Thank you for saving the planet, Lydia Holt.
Oh, I still eat dairy though. Dairy's a problem. All those cows.
Yeah.
That don't have, it's oh no, your baby's not going to get that milk. We need to drink it.
Yes.
It makes me do baby poop paste. They're sorry. Because cows are so freaking nice. Have you ever met a mean cow?
No. You know who are really sweet, though? The calves?
Yeah.
They'll come on, they'll lick your hand.
Have you seen the video? There's a YouTube video of a guy. I think he's in France. I think he's a dairy farmer. I could have that part wrong. He plays the tuba for his cows.
No.
They hear the tuba and they come running up to hear that tuba.
That's adorable.
Because, I think they have found, I think they've done studies that animals like sounds that are similar to the sounds that they make.
Mm.
That they vocalize, or those are the more comforting sounds to them. Hmm. So, a violin, I don't know if a cow would really be that into it, but the tuba, they were like, dude, what you doing over here playing the tuba? That's my jam. They come over, and they seem to really be enjoying it.
Oh, that's awesome. The tuba is such a dainty instrument, dude.
It is.
Does he play oompa music when he does it? What does one play on the tuba?
I think that's the only kind of music you can play on a tuba, even though there's a tuba player in the Roots. So, the tuba just brings the bottom to the brass section.
Yeah.
It brings the booty.
Or
to the farm field.
Yeah. Is that what it's called? A farm field?
No, it's not called a farm field.
We are city folk. Deep inside.
To the
farm field. The fielding of farming
give
field.
I'm going to give you the word.
What?
Pasture.
Pasture. Boom. There it is.
I found it. Pasture. Wordsmith,
you could
I am.
Totally pass as a country mouse. As a country mouse.
Here's another one. Cow pie.
Cow pie. Oh, I know what a cow pie is. We don't call them cow pies. We call them cow patties.
Cow patties.
Mm-hmm. Cow patties.
Mm.
That's when the cow poops. It's a liquid sort of poop.
And it ploop.
And it ploops into a pile.
Yeah. And it's patty-like.
And it hardens then.
And then you can throw it.
Like a frisbee.
Yeah.
But it's not gross poop. Cow poop kind of, I don't know, there's something earthy about it.
Cows. Cows are so freaking nice. And we do them so dirty.
We do them dirty. Mm-hmm. And their poop smells not so bad.
See?
So, this is the Raisin of the Hot Dog's End.
This is episode 6.
6. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm thinking for 6, we need to go into what we did this weekend, because it was a special weekend for all of Europe.
Yes, because I went to the countryside. No, wait, what? You see what I did there?
I see what you did there. You made it about you, Jonas. It's not all about you. You participated. It was a week-long thing. It was Eurovision week.
Eurovision week.
Eurovision.
Yeah. And it was dazzling this year.
Isn't it always dazzling?
It is.
Mm-hmm. In its own special way.
Yeah.
So it started back. I did a teensy bits of research.
Linnea, you just did research this time?
Well, I just wanted to do just a little bit, just to know when the first...
Wait, I just had to break this down just for a second.
What?
Because when we were talking about it earlier, I was like, Lydia, I am not prepared at all for this.
Yeah.
I did not do anything. And you were like, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. .. I have done some research.
I did just a smidge.
You have done your homework. You are going to be the star student this time.
I don't like to have too much research done. I like it to be kind of loose,
I have lots of anxiety now when I've done too much research.
Oh, yeah. No.
So I need to just back away from it a little bit.
We're going to find a happy medium.
We are.
We're going to
find that Goldilocks zone.
Yeah.
where we barely researched something.
Goldilocks, the first Becky. Oh, God.
The first Becky.
It's too hot. It's too cold. I want to take your chair.
What should I do in Iceland?
You know the original, like, Goldilocks tale? Like, she was, like, murdered, I think. It was, like, the tale of some crazy...
All of those were heinous, they were brutal all stories.
Really horrible.
Do you know how Prince Charming woke up Snow White?
Oh,
in the original story?
No.
It was not a kiss.
Oh, was it the full Monty?
It was the full deal.
Holy cannolis. Well, that will wake you up.
Non-consensual waking, I think, is what that's called.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Way to say I love you. A little rape.
A little light rape for your bedtime, your children's bedtime stories.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Well, where are we going?
I don't know how we got to rape. We were talking about Eurovision. We go dark real fast. Yeah. Get dark really fast. Eurovision. Oh, origins of Eurovision.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So the first one was back in 1956. Some Italian dude had an idea based on an Italian song contest that was already going on. And I feel like I learned somewhere else, not today, that it was that the reason, like, the European broadcasting, whatever it's called, decided to go with it. So they wanted to foster some good feelings post-World War II.
Yeah, that was my idea behind it.
You know,
it.
Just a little...
That was my understanding.
Friendly competition. Like, yeah. You can't vote for your own country. You right. have to... It's like, let me find something good about our former enemies. That right. was a good song they wrote.
Yeah.
Let's vote for them. So I feel like that...
Let's forget about, like, the Nazis and socialists
yeah,
and fascists.
Yeah, you know, fascist, genocide.
Yeah.
Let's
have some pop music.
Let's have some pop music and yeah. make it okay.
There have been some big names that have come out of Eurovision, too.
Yeah. Who's before... So, ABBA, of course. ABBA. The Swedes. Celine Dion sang for France 1 year.
France or Switzerland?
Was it Switzerland? I thought it was France.
I don't know.
Y'all can Google it. You tell us. You tell us what you know. You probably know better
But Celine Dion did do it at some point.
She did. Who else? Of course. Oh, what's that song? And I didn't realize this was a Eurovision song. Que sera, sera.
Was that a Eurovision song?
It was a Eurovision song.
What?
Yeah.
Amazing.
And I feel like they've been a couple... I mean, of course, whatever the ABBA song was. ABBA, however you say their name. What song did they do for Eurovision?
I don't know.
See? Was it Waterloo? No.
Yes.
Was it Waterloo?
I think so.
Sure, we'll say it's Waterloo. The Icelanders.
It was Waterloo that they performed.
The Icelanders are like, are getting very aggravated with us for not knowing this because they're shouting like, how do you not know this? I was only introduced to Eurovision in, I want to say 2003.
Okay.
It was the first time I watched it. And I was like, what is this? What is this?
We don't know about it in America.
We have no idea. I mean, a few Americans know because right. they have European friends or are married into the European madness.
But this is not part of the canon.
It's not. It is really not. So we have no clue. And the first time I watched it, first, tell me, when did you first watch Eurovision?
I mean, the year I was here and I was like, what is this brouhaha? What are we doing?
Yeah.
They're doing what? Everyone has a song?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the thing to me is that it seems like such like a naturally American thing to do.
Yeah. Well, like, we already had like Star Search and shit.
Let's fight about it, though.
Yeah.
And I mean, why don't we have like Amerivision?
What, like every state? Every state has their own song that they submit.
And you can't vote for your own state.
I feel like that. But we already have like football. I feel like football is like that. I think that might fill that void for Americans.
I don't know about you, but the people who watch Eurovision and the people who watch football are
not the same people. No, they're not. You're right.
I need my own football in America.
Yeah.
And that would be Amerivision.
I feel like they...
It would be so...
Have you ever tried it? Because it seems like Americans would have tried it once they knew about it.
I don't know. I've never heard of it. If you know that, like, someone has tried this in America, then write us and tell us, because I would love to know about it.
But I feel like, I think that's why there's, like, American Idol and shit. I mean, it's not songwriting, though.
But the idea of, like, regionalism and, like, representing your state. American, well, we are from Texas.
We are, and Texas.
And people give a damn about Texas.
Texas rolls hard for
but like when
Texas.
When I lived in New England, people from Connecticut were not really into
it. Well, because it's like New England Patriots. They don't even have their own team.
Yeah, they don't have their own team. Mm. And I was like, what do you call people from Connecticut? And they just like...
Nutmeggers.
Well, I know you can say like nutmeggers, but like there's no like Connecticuter or like Connecticut.
Yankees, they're just Yankees. But then that's also everybody else.
Yeah,
it's
Massachusetts.
It's not... Connecticut
specific. I just feel like state, like people don't identify themselves by their state there.
Right. Yeah, it's only if you're from like New York, Texas, California, Hawaii, I guess.
I mean, there's some state pride out there.
Yeah.
But there's also like regional pride. And that's why I think like the people up there definitely felt like New Englanders.
Right.
But I'm thinking that it would be a lot of fun to see what America would do.
Yeah, that would
do
be to this. Cool.
Yeah,
I think that would get nuts.
It'd be great, like some wonky state, like South Dakota, or like just like really shine, maybe. You know what I mean? And like yeah. It would be like South Dakota's claim to flame, came to flame. Did they come to flame?
They came to flame, bitch.
Their claim to fame. Uh-huh. Besides, what do they have there? Isn't that where the faces and the rock? What's it called?
Mount Rushmore?
Mount Rushmore.
Is it
Mount
Rushmore? I think it is.
Yeah.
Oh, God, we're bad Americans.
It's not great.
We don't know where Mount Rushmore is.
Nope.
I think it is South Dakota.
It's one of the Dakotas.
It's one of them. I think it's the South one.
Either Bismarck or Pierre. One of the, those are the capitals of those states.
Oh, that was very good, Jonas.
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
I know my capitals, just not where they, just not what state they belong to.
You know what they are. You know the names.
I know the names of them, all right, mm-hmm. folks?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think it would be a cool thing to see America take on Eurovision.
Yeah. So, yes. So, Eurovision.
Right.
So, the first time you watched it, what did you think?
I was completely sold 100%.
Mm-hmm.
I just liked how goofy it was.
Yeah.
Just like how it was like no holes barred pyrotechnics.
Yeah.
Like, there's lots of, like, cultural appropriation that's happening there.
Yeah, that makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And there's also... But it's also like every song, every pop song you've ever heard before is performed at Eurovision.
Right.
But like a super, like, by committee version. So it's like the blandest kind of form of whatever pop song that is.
Right.
But then with like a lot of flashy stage shit going on.
Right.
And then some people dancing, maybe.
Some of the songs are pretty catchy.
Some.
There was one that Serbia had not too long ago.
Oh, okay. Do you remember it?
No.
Oh.
The guy's name was Milan. That's all I remember. His name was Milan.
Milan.
And he had this sort of, like, inappropriately childlike look. Like, he looked like a large toddler, kind of. But the song was really good.
Okay. I don't remember that one. We haven't watched, like, every year. Just on occasion, if we remember.
Iceland's song was pretty good. I remember Johanna. She got really close.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorite Eurovisions, I think.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, Iceland has never won the Eurovision.
Yeah.
And, I mean, knock on wood that doesn't happen. Because
you have to host. Iceland cannot afford to host a Eurovision song contest. You got
the fucking bill the next time around.
Yeah.
So it got down. Iceland was doing really well. And it started getting to the end of the evening. And they're voting, the votes are coming in, and Iceland's in second place all of a sudden. It's like jockeying between like first and second place with Norway.
Right.
And Iceland is just like, I mean, you can see like
the terror.
The glory and the terror all at the same time.
Oh, we're going to win. No, we can't win.
Fortunately, they landed in second place, which is, I think, just where everyone wanted to land. Because that meant that...
So you get a little recognition. You're recognized as having had a great performance, a great song.
Right.
But you don't have to pay for this, like, gajillion-dollar European-wide thing.
Right.
Yeah. European-wide? Europe-wide.
Europe-wide. Jesus. Well, it's more than Europe-wide.
Yeah, because... Okay. So, yeah. Let's go to this year's Eurovision. Australia is in Eurovision.
Yet, Australia is not in Europe.
Not in Europe.
Yeah.
But they are so damn into it that the Eurovision committee was like, okay, sure. Back in, what was it, 2015, I think.
Okay, I don't know.
Just cause, let's spread the Eurovision goddamn love.
Right. And every now and then, Israel has taken part.
Yeah, they were in it. They won this
year. They won
this year. Spoiler alert, sorry.
Yeah.
But who doesn't know that already?
Right.
And they had a weird kind of, it made, I don't know how you felt about it, felt very Pokemon to me.
It felt Pokemon to me.
And also, you know, like, Orientalist with her costume.
A little bit. Well, like I was saying, like, there's lots of culture appropriation that happens.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's all the cultures all appropriating, getting appropriated, like, all at the same time.
Yeah.
There's almost, like, a blind appropriation that happens.
It's just, like, whatever they think is going to make them stand out.
Just grabbing at straws.
And just, like, randomly doing shit. And it's...
setting things on fire, painting things with, like, glowing paint.
Yeah.
Like, a weird metallic stuff happening. Strange garments that people are wearing sometimes.
I did find amusing the Danish song.
Oh, it was, like, very Viking,
right? It was so Viking. Yeah. You should have seen... Nicholas was going around, you know, that little marchy stomp they were doing?
Yeah.
Nicholas was doing it. He was stomping around out in his living room going,
So this is your
8-year-old.
Yes.
Yeah. He thought it was hilarious.
Something spoke to that, like, inner Viking.
It did. He was like, oh, yeah.
Something awoke.
It was so like, we are going to be Viking. That is our thing. They had, like, the ship sails on the side of the stage and their beards. They went full Viking. They went hard.
I mean, that one was kind of cool because, like, that they're, like, drawing on their like roots.
Yeah.
I find it really strange when they, like, pluck something from, like, someone else's culture entirely.
Like Czech Republic?
Yeah, the Czech Republic was not... I mean, that one was one of the picks to win.
Yeah, it was a catchy tune.
Yeah.
But I was also like... creeped out.
What bothered me more than that was the Netherlands entry.
Which one was it? Oh, God. The Waylon Jennings. Did you hear him? I heard him because I'm a Texan. You're a Texan. Did you hear him? Spinning in his grave. Spinning real hard.
Not just Waylon Jennings, but he was like Waylon Jennings surrounded by a band of...
black men.
Of like crump dancing.
Crumping black men to country music.
Nope.
By a guy from the Netherlands. Yeah. Hello, Black Pete. That's all I'm going to say. Y'all can Google the Netherlands and Black Pete and why the whole thing was just like, what the hell is this shit?
Yeah, that was highly problematic.
It was like, really? Again, the black man not paid enough. Not no. paid enough to get on stage and do that.
Not the kind of dancing that we needed to see in front of the Waylon Jennings.
It was bizarre.
Yeah, that one was really strange. And the song wasn't that great either.
It was a horrible song.
Yeah.
I was surprised that the Italian song, was that the last one that had the lyrics?
Oh, yeah, the two guys?
Yeah. I was like, the message seemed like it was supposed to be great. But
I don't know, because I only spoke one of the languages that they like translated their lyrics
into. Yeah. And I think it was supposed to be like an anti-war unity type thing. Mm-hmm. You know, beautiful sentiment.
Right.
But the song itself, I found the words distracting on the screen, and then the song itself, I can't even remember.
Well, there's 5 countries that don't have to go through the semifinals or whatever they're called. They don't have to qualify.
They don't have to qualify because they're so big.
It's
right?
Like, yeah, and they, I think, well, it's because they're so big, but they've also, like, fronted enough money to Eurovision where Eurovision is just like, all right, well, okay. You guys always kind of win.
Okay. So here you go, and you can go.
I think it's the UK.
Yeah.
Germany, mm-hmm. France. I'm going to get these wrong.
Is it also Italy?
Italy, Spain?
Maybe Spain. That seems like it would be.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, there's big ones, right? I don't know. To be honest with you, I don't know.
We aren't European. We should not be expected to know this.
No. Yeah, they're like the Italian was like, it was like supposed to be like sort of unifying.
Yeah. Which, you know, okay.
But I think for that reason, because those guys always get a place in the semifinals, mm-hmm. or like in the, you know, they don't have to qualify.
Right.
I feel like sometimes they can like phone it in.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like, really, guys?
Because there's like they didn't put in like really a lot of effort.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
did like the Austrian though, the black Austrian guy. I was like,
he put his all into it.
I googled him. I was like, is he like? I didn't know if he was like a naturalized Austrian because uh-huh. I'm gonna. Go ahead and tell you, I was just assuming black man, not necessarily Austrian by birth. Born in Austria, raised. I was like, all right, look at you.
He had that like Schwarzenegger gap between his front teeth.
Yeah. So you think that proves his Austrianness?
Maybe, I don't know.
He did look like he was biracial. Looked like he was there with his mother. She looked like she was a black woman. I don't know where from.
All right.
So maybe his dad is a white Austrian dude.
I mean, it's taken a long time for people of color.
Yeah.
To come into the Eurovision contest.
Yeah, to be representatives of countries in Eurovision. Because they're like, oh, that's not us. Like in Italy, a woman of Dominican ancestry won Miss Italy 1 year. And they were like, nope, she's black.
She can't do it.
She can't do that.
Great job, Italy. Mm-hmm. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Iceland has like I said, Iceland's never won. They did. They sent Johanna not too long ago, and she did pretty well. Mm-hmm. Did not do well this year.
Yeah.
I think they might have come in dead last, actually.
Really?
Once all the votes were tallied.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was... I know Portugal was at the bottom. Ukraine?
Well, I mean, Portugal made it to the... Oh, I guess maybe you also qualify if you host?
Yeah, if you host, you definitely... I think you qualify automatically if you...
Okay. But, I mean, Iceland didn't qualify, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I think that once like all the votes were tallied, they came in dead last.
Really?
Yeah, that was in the newspaper. Mm. I think. Google this. It wasn't a great song.
No, it wasn't. But, you know, the thing is, none of the songs are really great songs at Eurovision. They're all kind of like,
I like a song that's good, like a good Eurovision song, though.
Yeah.
That's good at being a Eurovision song.
That song that was from Iceland last year?
I don't remember.
I don't know if it was the song or if it was in the finals for the song. The guy with the t-shirt, the really tall guy.
Oh, no, I didn't watch it.
I didn't watch it either. It's just, I've just seen it like in clips or something. Okay. But that seemed like a catchy little, it was like very dancey, poppy, like EDM-ish.
Okay.
It seemed catchy. I was like, oh, that would have been a cute little song.
Sweden, I feel like, always brings it.
Oh, I found that disturbing. I was like, make him stop.
I loved him.
Oh, God, I wanted him to sit down somewhere.
He did make me a little tired by the end. You could see that man smile from outer space.
You liked his joie de vivre?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, he had his joie turned up to an 11. he was joieing all over the stage. I just like the neon lights behind him. And his groovy pop dance.
Yeah, it was pseudo Michael.
That's what I mean, I kind of like that, like, they took it and they, like, really, like, just amped it all the way up. Mm-hmm. The good, the bad, the ugly, all of it was just out there on display.
That's true. That's true.
That's what I mean, like, I like a song that's, like, good at being a Eurovision song.
Yeah, and they did well. Yeah. In Swedes. Swedes, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, wait, was that the right one?
They did really well. I'm trying to think. I can't think
of it. In Cyprus.
Oh, yes.
Old girl with the painted fire on her body. Looks like it was painted on her.
On fire. She did really well, too.
En fuego. En fuego. And Spain was like, you got our vote.
A lot of people were comparing her to Beyonce, but yeah. I felt like she was more like Shakira.
Yeah, it was definitely more. She pulled from every big woman pop star she could.
Yes.
Took their choreography, took their style, and was like, here we go.
Let's do this.
I'm going to throw a little something for everybody out there.
Well, it worked because she had a wide appeal.
Yeah.
I liked Ireland as well.
Oh, yes, Ireland.
Yes, they're mm-hmm. homoerotic dancers,
you know,
in the background.
They were like, the song was the mediocre, I mean, I can't even talk.
I know. It's hard. It's
what's
hard
the talk. Thing? What was it? A love song? Jesus yes. Christ. It was an okay love song. But then, you know, you see the two guys in the back, you're like, wait a minute. Are they trying to bring some social commentary to the program? Right.
Topical song.
Look at Ireland.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to have to burst our Eurovision bubble here.
Okay, go for it.
I'm going to be a little bit of a downer.
Ah, jeez. Well, you know.
I'm going to bring it to a place that we don't like to necessarily go to all the time, mm-hmm. but I think we need to go to.
Okay.
I think I mentioned to you before that I wasn't super jazzed about Israel.
Yeah, of course.
I have some problems with Israel.
Didn't everybody?
And I really had a hard time when the winner... told everyone that...
Oh, did she say something?
Mm-hmm.
She said, we'll God, what did she say? We'll see you
all next year in...
What did...
Jerusalem.
Okay.
It's not the capital of...
Yeah.
Israel.
Yeah.
Capital of Israel is Tel Aviv.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I felt like that was a pretty political statement.
Yeah.
Especially because today... Mm-hmm. Like, over 50 people were killed in Palestine. Jesus. Who were demonstrating the move of the fucking American embassy.
Right.
From Tel Aviv to
Jerusalem.
Jerusalem.
Jesus Christ.
Like, teenagers were just slaughtered. It's just...
God damn it.
I mean, and I have a really hard time with Israel being celebrated right now.
Yeah.
I mean, as an American, mm-hmm. I should know that the people are not the government.
Yeah.
But this woman got up there and said...
And then said that.
See you in Jerusalem.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just feel like, because Israel's not, I mean, you know, we're talking about, like, is the reason for Eurovision coming about was, like, a unifying force after World War II.
Yeah.
And I think that's really, I mean, it's become, like, a platform for someone to be super divisive.
Yeah.
And that's kind of crappy. I know that there's a lot of talk now of people boycotting Eurovision next year.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Like, there have been voices in Ireland mm-hmm. pushing for the country to boycott next year. They've also been, I mean, there are people in Iceland, obviously, that yeah. want Iceland to boycott next mm-hmm. year. Although, I guess Iceland's representative for Eurovision has said that we're planning on going.
Oh, okay. You know, it's a strong support for Palestine.
Is it going to be in Jerusalem?
I don't know.
I mean, that would be yeah. huge if they decided to hold it in Jerusalem and all these European countries showed up and were like, here we are in the capital of Israel.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is going to yeah. be a big deal, I think.
It is. I mean, they must have thought of this when they decided to let Israel participate.
They're like,
what kind of political ramifications there could be.
Yeah. I'm sure this has happened before. Well, not exactly the scenario, but I'm sure that, like, something like this has happened before.
Mm-hmm. And was there ever, like, an East-West Germany thing? Did they compete? Or did East Germany not compete in Eurovision back in the day?
I don't know. I was a kid in Texas at that time. I had no idea. Yeah, me
too. I have a feeling they didn't. Oh, you know, I think I read something that, like, after the wall fell a lot, that's when all of the Eastern Bloc countries, like,
oh, came into Eurovision?
Came into Eurovision. I don't think they were in it before.
Okay.
Like, even as, like, their conglomerate selves.
Yeah. Huh. I mean, I think it's, I think it's sort of interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, Israel has had really impressive, what do you call it, contributions to Eurovision in the past. That's Dana International. Do you know who she was?
Nope.
She was the first trans woman to...
Oh.
To perform at Eurovision,
mm-hmm.
or the first out trans woman, at least.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I mean, the country seemed to like really just like rally behind her, which was awesome.
Because
mm-hmm. it wasn't that recent that she performed. It was like I have no idea.
And then you have Azalea Banks. How'd you say her name?
Azalea Banks. What are you gonna say about her?
Well, you know, she's problematic on many levels. She says some really stupid shit.
Yeah.
But she just came back from performing in Israel, uh-huh. and she did not have a good experience. Low racism. Oh. Propositioned by a rabbi for sex.
Oh, that is why she didn't have a good time. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, that was just her personal experience. I'm talking about, like, her, political right. stance on anything.
Okay.
It was just her just being, you know, black woman in Israel. She was like, ooh.
Ooh, not nice.
Not nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that is unfortunate.
Yeah, but you know what? I gotta say, being a black woman,
mm-hmm.
going many places, there can be unpleasant.
Yeah. We have a lot to say about that. I mean, I know you have a lot to say about that, mm-hmm. or I'm guessing you have a lot to say about that when it comes to Iceland. And I feel like that's something that we will get into at some point.
I haven't had any horrid experiences, but I've had the usual experiences.
The usual experiences?
Yes. The usual experiences. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a shame that they're usual experiences.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Say a lot freaking be.
Yeah. Do you have any final words on Israel and Eurovision?
Oh, I said we got so deep. I'm like, oh, God.
Well, I kind of wanted to wait. It's kind of a downer to talk about that. But
it is. But
I think it's important.
That's part
especially
of
because
it,
like her song was supposed to be like social justice-y and like, you know, Me Too. And
mm-hmm. I'm not your toy.
Exactly. Like, I feel like that's really.
You're not your toy. Yeah, I'm not your toy. But, you know, I'll toy with Palestine.
Exactly. But yeah. Palestine. Wait, so someone was like. There was some tweet that was like, Israel is occupying station, like place number 2 in Eurovision and Palestine. Like, let's not forget that, folks. Let's not forget what's happening while all this is going on.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you have any final Eurovision thoughts, Israel thoughts? I don't think so.
kind of hope that there'll be a lot more talk about this in Iceland, at least.
Yeah.
Because Iceland is a small enough country where it doesn't take, like, that many people to be a tipping point.
Yeah.
For there to be real discussion about not not sending their song to Eurovision next year. Which might be, you know, a good conversation starter.
Yeah.
Yes. What else were we going to talk about this time?
What else you did this weekend? I went to the pool.
You went to the pool? Which pool did you go to?
Oh, I do have a pool story. Okay. I went to our pool. Sundhöll. Yeah. Went there. Had a lovely time as usual. It was not very crowded, which was great.
Yeah.
Because since it's opened, it was redone. So there have been a lot of just like local people coming, check out the new pool, and also tons of tourists.
It wasn't rainy. It was like raining all weekend, wasn't it?
It wasn't raining when we were there.
Oh, okay.
Did we go on? Maybe we went on Friday night and it wasn't raining. We were there the other day and it was hailing, and that was an experience.
I mean, I don't hate it when it's like horrible weather, especially if you're in the
if it snows, warm water. That's one thing. It's kind of pretty, but the hail kind
balls of ice falling
that hurt a little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah, okay, I see that. I see that now. Yeah.
Okay, but so when we were there on Friday, we were in the steam room, steam bath. We go in, we come out. We were just sitting in the not waiting area, but like the cool down area that's not outside, but it's not in the steam bath. And the guy who was also in the steam bath came out, and he's like, you know, people, when they go into the steam bath, their sinuses get cleared out a little bit. They start dripping a little bit.
Oh, no.
So he's like, huh, huh, you know, like making all these sounds, goes over to the water fountain.
Oh, yuck.
That is just it's a drinking fountain. Yeah. It's not like a sink.
With a drain.
Well, it's not a sink. It's a drinking fountain. That's all it is. Some steam baths, steam rooms have like a sink and also a water fountain. This is just a water fountain.
Did he evacuate his sinuses into it?
He evacuated his sinuses into the water fountain.
You yuck.
And then he like swished, you know, he ran the water and like swished around. And me and my husband looked at each other like, is that what just happened? So I was like, note to self, don't drink out of that water fountain. Or at least let it run for like 10 minutes before you, you know, have a sip. And so later, the guy goes to do it again. And my husband was there, tapped on the shoulder. He's like, dude, that's not what that's for. It's like, what? Why would it cross
He said something?
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, he's my hero.
Yeah. He's my hero too.
What did the guy do?
He's like, oh yeah, sorry. Yeah.
They didn't have like a fisticuffs?
No, nothing happened. He, you know, corrected himself. I don't know why. It's like, why do you need someone to tap you on the shoulder to say, don't blow your nose into the water fountain, dude?
Oh, God.
That's like the woman who, where was it? Like in Prospect Park or Central Park? Some woman was like cleaning her dog's ass in a water fountain?
Oh, gross.
Yeah. People are disgusting.
Oh, yuck.
Humanity.
At least it's a human thing and not an Icelandic thing.
Yeah, it is a human.
Yeah.
All the shit that we talk about, this like Icelandic stuff, it's all human things.
Yeah.
It's all every little goddamn thing. Right. It's every single human on this planet is capable of doing the same dumb shit.
Well, here's my segue.
Go ahead.
I did not spend a lot of time around humans this weekend.
No, you did not. What did you do this weekend, Jonas?
Not humankind, but sheepkind.
Yeah, you weren't watching the Eurovision finals. You were watching what? The Circle of Freaking Life.
I was watching the Circle of Life happen. There are two great times to be at an Icelandic sheep farm.
Mm-hmm.
And that is in the fall.
Okay, what happens in the fall?
That's the sheep roundup.
Oh, right. Sheep roundup. Which you can hear about more about in which episode?
Did we talk about it?
We talked about the sheep roundup in one of our traveling episodes.
I have the memory of a goldfish. I have no idea what we've been talking about.
I think it was in Up, Down, and Through Iceland, episode part one or two. You'll have to listen to both folks to find out about the sheep roundup.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, that's a really great time to be in an Icelandic farm because you can round up the sheep from the highlands, the wilderness. The other great time to be in an Icelandic farm is for lambing season.
Lambing season. Oh, little lamb.
When all the lambs come out.
How do they look? Are they gross?
They're really gooey. Mm. I mean, it's not sort of a Disney experience.
Gooey but adorable.
Gooey but adorable, and sometimes they don't make it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had my 4-year-old with me, and she the farmer's family that was there, you know, sort of.
Did you stay on the farm, or is it someone, a friend of a friend's? How did you end up in this situation, Jonas? Give us more.
It's a friend. I'm friends with the family there. We're friends with the family there. I'm really close with
the people who own the farm.
No, they're the next generation. They're okay. Kids.
Okay.
I have a good friend, and she lives in Plantos, mm-hmm. and she married into the family.
Okay.
Or not married into the family, but she's part of that family.
Okay. So I was just wondering how you happened to be.
It's a farm I've been going to for a long time. I mean, I've been friends with this person for a long time. So, okay. Katerina, that's her name. Please don't pay her a visit. Please don't find her and then ask her to take her to your farm. Anyway, we've been going there for a while, and this is our first time going during lambing season. But like mm-hmm. I said, I brought my 4-year-old with me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually I brought the 4-year-old and the 14-month-old. But the 4-year-old, the farmer's family was sort of like, can she see everything?
Mm.
Do you want her to like be exposed to all that kind of stuff? Like gauging her
level of sensitivity to this kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
So she didn't necessarily look at the dead lambs, because I think that might have been really traumatic for her.
A little bit.
But they talked about the fact that sometimes the lambs don't live, and mm-hmm. she was very interested in that. She wanted to know like why, what happens.
Yeah, what does happen? I mean, I can understand if they're like twins or something, like sometimes that can cause
a
problem.
It's typically a twin birth.
Yeah.
Normally each ewe has two lambs. Sometimes they only have one, sometimes they have three, sometimes they have four.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It's rare, but sometimes they have four.
Wow, I didn't realize. I thought it was just like one. But right. it's normally a twin birth.
Yeah, normally it's a twin birth.
Okay.
And I guess sometimes there's a vitamin deficiency. Apparently there was a vitamin deficiency this year, and a lot of them just didn't make it.
Oh, okay.
A lot of them are stillborn, or if they have like this like sliminess on the outside. If it's too thick, they can't cough up their mucus plug.
Uh-huh.
I am not a veterinarian. I might be wrong about some of the more technical matters here, but I can tell you that some of the lambs do.
And do they have the vitamin deficiency because, like, they don't have the proper grazing land?
Well, I reviewed
when they're let out.
I reviewed the available literature on this, and I can give you a definitive answer. No, I cannot. I have no idea.
No idea. Yeah. Okay.
I know that they all go graze in like the wild
right
highlands.
Yeah.
Like they let basically after the sheep are old enough,
mm-hmm.
they let them go
right
graze.
Okay. I didn't know if you had gotten some inside information from the farmer about, like, what causes that. But no. Okay.
No, I didn't ask him to. He was, like, literally busy pulling lambs
Yeah. You're like, excuse me, but could you clarify what causes...
Can we talk about this a little bit? Do you have a chart?
So the infant mortality rate among the... Excuse me. Can you take your hand out of the ewe for a minute? I have a question. You didn't want to do question. That.
Can my 4-year-old come down there and look? Yeah. Okay. But it was like a beautiful, super fun time to be at the farm because mm-hmm. it was gorgeous outside.
Yeah, your pictures were great.
Yeah, it was beautiful there. And there's all these people who come to the farm at this time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of young people who were there. People were helping out. It's just a fun time to like stop by and say hello and.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bring some food and everyone eats together and talks together and works together and sort mm-hmm. of pitches in where they can. It's just a really lovely time to be there. I mean, it's also awesome to be there for the roundup. The roundup is maybe a little bit more fun than lambing season even.
Yeah. Well, you know.
It's not the dead babies.
Not the dead babies.
Skip that part. And really, for the roundup, people really need help mm-hmm. getting all these sheep.
Yeah,
all these sheep rounded up.
Yeah,
but it's kind of a unique thing, I think, for Iceland.
What, the sheep roundup?
Well, I mean the fact that like everyone just like turns their sheep loose.
Oh well, yeah.
And they just graze in the highlands.
Yeah, which is the reason for the no trees.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Thanks.
Really, the sheep are eating the trees?
They keep the tree. Have you not noticed how sheep just like eat any goddamn thing that's growing?
How could they eat a whole tree though?
They don't eat the whole tree. They keep the trees from growing.
Oh, like the saplings.
The little shoot comes up, gobbled, gone.
Okay, no, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Well, apparently it's kind of a problem now because there's so many sheep,
mm-hmm.
and they're not. There's not enough interest. I guess there's not enough people to buy the meat.
Oh.
I think a lot of it is subsidized by the government.
Really?
Yeah, like 40% of the farmer's income.
But, like, isn't the wool? The wool's a big thing, though. Gotta make all them...
Well, I think the wool's a byproduct.
Yeah.
I mean, they're raising those sheep for meat.
For meat. Hmm. And nobody's buying it. Or not nobody, but it's not as...
They don't sell all of it.
Hmm.
And especially because there's some embargo with Russia now, I think.
Oh.
Russia used to buy a lot of the lamb meat. I mean, it's really touted here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's supposed to be, like, really good and really flavorful. I don't know.
Do you know? You haven't tried it?
I've tried it. We just don't eat a lot of meat.
Yeah.
Especially the lamb meat.
Yeah.
Just so cute. You
know, who wants to eat a lamb?
Yeah.
A lot of people, but, you know.
Actually, a lot of people.
Not me.
I mean, it used to be the meat that, like, most Icelanders would eat. But
right.
Icelanders eat a lot. I mean, it is a very meaty country here still.
Yeah.
But I think most Icelanders eat chicken and, like, beef and pork now. Or a lot more. Probably as much as they eat lamb now.
Yeah.
So I think lamb consumption here has gone down. And I just don't think that they sell a whole lot of it anymore.
Hmm.
Sort of a question for, like, Iceland. Like, do you want to support this
thing? Right.
Because, like... got some other things that you probably need to do.
Yeah, could downsize it a little
bit. Not too long ago, the government spent a huge chunk of change on promoting Icelandic lamb abroad.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. Like, a lot of money at a time when, like, the healthcare system here is crumbling.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are all the preschool problems. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just, like, lots of problems that, like, people need to sort of handle. But the Progressive Party, which is traditionally the party of the farmers,
mm-hmm.
I think they had a minister who was like, nope, we're going to allocate this to, like, try to sell more land abroad.
Oh. Okay.
Oh. It's just sort of like, why maybe not keep an industry alive.
Yeah, if it's not working.
Yeah. But then when we were on the farm, it was like, oh my God, this is kind of an amazing world.
Right.
And it's like a piece of heritage that would be lost. Not necessarily lost, though, but like maybe just like decrease the amount of land that's being produced.
But yeah. And I feel like people keep things alive that don't need to be. I mean, yeah, it could go the way of the dinosaurs, but if it's not working anymore, if it's like becoming a hindrance, like coal, for example.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not working anymore.
Yeah, having dinosaurs in there would be awful.
Wouldn't it?
I'm glad that we don't have dinosaurs.
Really hard for me to walk to work if, like, a velociraptor is chasing me. I mean, I guess I would get there faster, but I could also die.
That's right.
So, there's that.
Our pterodactyl could just...
snatch me up. Pluck
you up. Yeah. Pluck you from the ground.
I'm pretty lightweight, so it would just... I'd be easy pickings. But would they really want me? I'm kind of scrawny.
They would want me.
I think I would have that going for me.
They would want me.
Yeah. You're
were
juicy.
Were we standing next to each other? They would choose the juicy morsel.
But I feel like you'd, like, fight them off. You'd give them a, ugh, and I would just be like, ah, dead. I don't know. What else did you do? You watched the lambing.
And, I mean, that was, like, a big part of it.
Yeah.
That's like what's happening right now.
Mm-hmm. That's what's happening.
Do-do-do.
The guy from Schoolhouse Rock who wrote, he didn't write that song, but he wrote a lot of the Schoolhouse Rock songs. I told you this. He was from Texas. He died recently. He was like 96 years old. Or was he over 100? He was old. But he was from the great state of Texas, and he did the Schoolhouse Rock songs.
Like, I'm just a bill.
Yeah.
I'm just a bill, and I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill.
Exactly.
Okay.
From the great state.
Wait, how's that connect to what we're talking about? He died this weekend?
No, it wasn't this weekend. It was like a while ago.
Okay.
It was a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
But you did some sort of song. You did some sort of thingy, songy thingy. It was a Schoolhouse Rock song.
You did?
Yeah.
When?
Just a moment ago.
Oh, I did?
Yeah. Didn't you? Or no, that was me. I said, that's what's happening. That was me.
Okay.
It was me, not you. I was projecting. Sorry. My apologies.
That's what I mean.
But that was a good song. That's what's happening.
Uh-huh.
Verb. Oh, that was a good song.
I don't remember that one. Of course, I'm not as old as you.
3 years, Jonas. 3 years. So the other thing we did this weekend, me and the husband, went to the movies. B.O. Paradise, yet again. Another plug for B.O. Paradise.
I love that you guys go see movies on the weekends.
Well, you know, the husband got a membership there. You can get one.
You guys are living my dream life right now.
Yeah. You too will get there, my friend. Once the kids are, you know, once they get over that hump of, we need you all the time. Once they're over that. Sorry. I think it's a boob thing. I think that's a
boob. Lydia's like squeezing air boobies right now. Air boobies.
Well, because that's what it's like. Or from a mother-woman perspective,
yes,
it seems like that's all they want from you all the time.
The
like,
metaphorical squeezing of the boobies.
Yeah, or they're just like, boob. And you're like, can you just get off of my body?
Yeah.
And then as they get older, it's more of a spiritual suckage.
Yeah.
Not so much nursing at the teat as just like your emotional, spiritual energy.
Your marrow is gone.
They just suck it out of you. So once they start sucking that out of you, you two will have the time to just go to the movies on the weekend.
That sounds glorious.
It's coming. It gets better.
Okay. I hope so because
it's
rough right
now. It's hard. I know. Yeah. I know. So we went to the movies. Went to see this movie. Called And Breathe Deeply. Is that the name of it? Let me double check. I want to get it right. And Breathe Normally is the name of it. It's an Icelandic film. Can you say the Icelandic title?
Ante Eðla.
And does that mean And Breathe Deeply or
it
Normally?
It means Breathe Naturally.
Breathe Naturally.
Okay. Or Normally, yeah.
Normally, yeah. It was a good movie. It's about, there's a single mom with a son.
Wait, this is the same premise as Adam, right? The single mom with the son?
Kinda.
Lots of single moms in Iceland.
Yeah, there are. But there's a lot of support for that, too. Yeah. In this film, the woman is...
Yeah, I wasn't complaining about the single moms.
No, yeah.
I'm like, oh, more power to you.
Yeah, no, there's very much just like, oh, you're having a baby? All right.
What can we do?
Yeah,
what
can nobody we do for cares. You? What's interesting is... No,
everybody cares.
Yes, it's true. Everybody cares. You're right. There you go. Interesting thing, when we first moved here, someone asked me, you have kids? I was like, yeah. And they were like, oh, did they come with you? I was like, yeah.
Wait, what? Did they come with you?
Yeah.
To move to Iceland?
To move to Iceland. I was like, yes. Because they didn't assume that my husband was the father of my children.
Oh. That's awesome.
They were just like, oh, well, you know.
That's great.
Shit happens.
Yeah.
He may or may not be their father.
Yeah.
Ooh, maybe they stayed with their dad back in the States. I was like, oh, all right. In America, that would never happen.
Yeah.
There's always an assumption that there's a father and he is doing X, Y, Z.
Right.
There's a, yeah, we won't go into that. Or maybe we can. So there's a movie about a single mom. She has a son. She's not exactly down and out, but she's on the verge of being down and out. She doesn't have a job. She's a recovering addict of some sort.
Is this in Iceland?
In Iceland. And she's just gotten her child back, you find out, throughout the course of the movie. Like, he had been taken away from her because if she was having whatever problems she was having. Has him back. But then she gets a job working as border control, like passport control.
Oh, I know this
film. You know this movie?
Oh, this looks like a good one.
It's good. I mean, it's... kind of predictable, but it's still a good film.
Okay.
And she encounters this woman.
She works in passport.
She works in passport control.
Control, right.
And a woman comes through with a fake passport. And the thing is, here's the thing. So she's in training. And the guy that she's training with. The Icelandic woman's in training. The guy she's training with scans the passport. He's like showing her what she's supposed to do. He's like, so you scan it and then you put it under this light to see all the watermarky stuff and blah blah blah, everything's okay, you give the passport back. So they go through the process with this the other woman who's coming into the country, and he doesn't catch something, but she does. The Icelandic woman says, oh, isn't that supposed to be blue? It's yellow. And the woman almost goes through. He gives her the passport back, and then he's like, oh wait, can you come back? And that's when they discover she has a fake passport. And turns out she's fleeing from Guinea-Bissau? I never know how you say it. Guinea-Bissau? Bissau?
She's Google fleeing. It. I don't know.
Google it. But she's fleeing there because it turns out that she's a lesbian. Her partner had been beaten to death.
Ooh.
So she was fleeing with her daughter and her sister. Her daughter and sister are able to get through. And she ends up being stuck in limbo in Iceland.
Ooh, that sounds like a bad place to be in limbo.
Yeah. And so the story goes on. I won't give any more information in case people want to see the movie. Yeah. But it was good.
Yeah, I thought the premise was really good.
Yeah.
I like it when Iceland takes like a more worldly tack.
Yeah, it is nice.
Because Icelandic movies tend to be like very myopic. Icelandic focused. Yeah, very myopic. Mm-hmm. It's nice when they sort of look outwards a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And I feel that's also a thing that's happening here in Iceland. Like the asylum seekers are coming here, mm-hmm. and there's a growing population of people that are not of Icelandic origin.
That's true. The asylum seekers, I don't know if Iceland's really taking their share of asylum seekers.
They aren't. I think that's what this movie was kind of getting at. Oh, was yeah. just like the people that are fleeing, you know, whatever horrors they're fleeing and not being able to find refuge here or anywhere else. And they're just kind of in limbo, like in nowhere.
Let me ask you, did the film have English subtitles?
It did.
Ah,
it was Icelandic with English subtitles.
So you were able to enjoy it pretty well.
I was.
Did you pick up any Icelandic while you were watching it?
No.
Okay.
No. There was a point where the woman from Guinea says, like, that she takes out an Icelandic dictionary to talk to the son, to the child, and she just, like, says words. And the kid is like, is this what you mean? But those were all words I already knew.
Okay.
But of course, there was a little grammar lesson in there, and I was like, yeah, goddamn it, girl, I feel your pain. I feel your pain. Yeah. Oh, that was good. So there you go. It's an Icelandic movie, Icelandic director. She won a prize, I think, at some film festival for this, for directing.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah.
It's amazing how many films get made here for what a small country it is.
Mm-hmm. They really try and support the arts, you know?
Yeah,
if you're willing to, like, fill out that application to get film, to get the
film funding.
Yeah. They'll be like, okay, here you go.
Yeah. I feel like we should probably research this a little bit and then come back and talk to people about Icelandic films.
Yeah.
Instead of being like, which one's the one I remember?
It was called, I don't know, it was the guy with the thing and the sheep. Yeah. There were some sheep and they were at a pool. So this weekend, the kids, or even before this weekend, so this Thursday, the kids had off from school. Because it was Ascension Thursday.
And we didn't go to work.
We had work off as well.
It was like a national holiday.
It's a bank holiday, national holiday. Friday, they didn't have school just because, you know, they have a Thursday off. So they had a staff day. Like, the teachers had to go. But the kids didn't. But Iceland is not a highly religious country. Like, the people themselves aren't packing in the churches.
Unless you get a day off from work. Praise Jesus.
But they stick to those religious holidays. Like, ever since the King of Norway was like, look, either you guys convert to Christianity or I'm coming over there and I'm murdering people. They've been
Everyone's like, take the day
off. They're like, all right, sure.
No biggie.
Change the calendar. Here we go. Let's do it. And they do it up.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, day off. Day off here. Day off there.
Yeah, when I was talking to people about, like, what the day is, and they're like, yeah, it's Ascension Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, what's Ascension Thursday? Like, yeah, it's Ascension Thursday.
do they know what it means?
It's the Bible, religious, and Jesus and God. That's why. Yeah, just sleep in. Turn off your alarm clock.
They don't know why, but they take the day off.
Soon, I don't know when I think it's this weekend, actually, this coming mm-hmm. up. I think we have, Whit Monday.
Okay. And which one is that? I feel like I Googled it because I was like, what is that? I've never heard of that. Because I grew up in Baptist and Episcopal, like going to church every Sunday. So I have a pretty good idea of religious holidays.
It's Pentecost.
Oh, it's Pentecost. Why do they call it Why Sunday?
Well, I think that's what's called in the UK. It's called Whit Sunday.
But why? Do you know why?
I don't know.
Huh. Something to do with the Holy Spirit?
Yes. I don't know. I have no idea.
Like the purity of the Holy Spirit, maybe? Like, he's, you know, white and...
Yeah. You know, because white's pure.
Because white's pure.
That's pure.
No.
I have no idea.
Huh.
And you know what? I'm not going to Google that one. Because I've probably Googled it before and I have too.
And I found it unsatisfying, I think. But I think the answer was unsatisfactory.
The thing is, like, Pentecost is on a Sunday.
Right.
So this is Whit Sunday, but this is not Whit Sunday that we get off, because obviously it's Sunday off already.
You get the Monday off.
You get Monday off, Whit Monday. Second day of Pentecost.
Wow.
Pentecost part 2, back with a revenge.
Speaking in tongues twice as hard.
No, but Iceland does this a lot. Like, you have Easter, and then you have... second day of Easter.
Yeah.
You have Christmas, and you have Christmas too.
Yeah. I think Icelanders are just looking for a holiday where they wherever they can find it.
Yeah, and why not?
So I think they need to add some Eid to the calendar.
That'll give you some
more Eid. Eid. It's a Muslim holiday.
Oh, yeah.
We have two of them. One in the fall, one in another time. I can't remember which one.
Well, this is the thing. There's all these days off in the spring, which I kind of understand because it's kind of a crappy time of year.
Yeah.
There's not so much off in the fall, though.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like in America, we have 4th of July, and then, yeah. I know it's not the fall, we have 4th of July, but then we have, like,
We get Thanksgiving.
And then we have Thanksgiving. I don't even get the day off for Halloween, but, like, I don't know, it's like a holiday. You know, it's festive. The holidays. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But there's nothing. It's just, like...
It's festive with all the gore and the spirits.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine. It is festive. I love Halloween.
It is festive.
Candy and trick-or-treating. Mm-hmm. But here you just go from, like, June 17th, mm-hmm. National Independence Day, and Christmas. I mean, is there anything in between it?
No. Not really.
And it's a long stretch where there's not a whole lot. And then you get to May, and it's like, every other day is a holiday.
Yeah.
There was, like, the bun holiday, the cream puff day.
Yeah, what is that about? I mean, it's around, like, Holy Week. But it's like some pagan stuff that our Protestant forefathers were not down with in the States.
Well,
that's what I feel like it is. Because I have no idea how it's connected.
It's like Fat Tuesday.
Yeah, but what's with the hitting people with sticks and eating like...
Green puffs?
Green puffs.
I don't know. I enjoy it though.
Yeah, it's tasty. However, I don't know what it has to do with the suffering of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ.
No, I don't know. I think it's like we're gonna go into like the period of Lent.
Of Lent, and so you just go buck wild.
Exactly.
Smack people with sticks and eat cream puffs.
We do in America. We like in New Orleans. You know, it's like you have to, like show me your tits, and then you get some beads, and then you eat a beignet. I don't know.
Get drunk.
I mean, so they have that kind
of
thing.
So I guess it's like a kind of a carnival type thing.
Yeah. I'm fine with everyone puts their tits away. Give me a cream puff. Cream puffs for cream puffs. And I enjoy that kind of holiday much better.
They are tasty, I gotta say. I was like, yeah, I like these little things.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Very good. Good job, Iceland.
Yeah. I just find it interesting that Iceland is, the people are not super religious, but they stick to that religious calendar. They stick to the Christian calendar.
It sounds kind of Catholic though, like the feast of blah blah blah.
Yeah, but they're not Catholic.
Nah, yeah.
Like this, there's no separation of church and state, and the state church is Lutheran.
Yeah, but it's like a
which is Protestant, like the Protestant, yeah. But it's still very.
It's like a very lightly flavored version of Lutheranism, though.
Protestant light.
Yeah, Protestant light, totally. Mm-hmm. Although there is a lot of money from the state, I think, that still goes to the church.
Yeah, like in your paycheck. If you don't say no, I don't want that going to the church, it goes to the church.
Right.
So you have to, like, fill out, go online, tick a little box, say, I want it to go to something else.
To the university.
To the university, for example.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where I want it to go.
So that's cool that you have that option of like saying, I want this bit of my paycheck to go to support whatever good cause that you want to support.
Instead of buying those stupid priest collars.
the ruffles they wear.
The ruffles.
It's like this Elizabethan collar that they put on.
Yeah.
Do they still wear those?
If you ask them to.
Wow.
When we got married, we had a priest come to our wedding.
And he wore, or she wore?
He wore, we asked him to wear his collar.
Mm-hmm.
He did.
Nice.
It looks like one of those cones of shame. Have we talked about this already?
No, we haven't talked about it.
It looks like one of those cones of shame they put on a dog after surgery.
Yeah.
So they won't, like, lick their wound.
The cone of shame. Wear your cone of shame, please. And bless our marriage. Tuck.